Shamelessly more Ballarat. This is Ballarat Today here at 3BA. Who can it be now? It's our radio philosopher, Belinda Fife now. Hello, Belinda.
Good morning, Brad.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Chunky wisdom.
Look, there's nothing else that Plato gives us, really, is there?
You were having dinner when you came up with that phrase last night, were you?
Probably.
This is such a beautiful topic. Plato's divine goods we're talking about today. How to be healthy, beautiful, strong and wealthy in your everyday life. So we're going to get to that in just a moment. Let's have a bit of a chat about this fellow called Plato and when this work came to be.
Well, this one actually comes from Plato's dialogue, The Laws. Mm-hmm. And The Laws was his last dialogue. So he wrote it at the end of his life when he was said to be in his 80s.
Wow.
Which was pretty good for somebody 2,500 years ago.
That's not bad. That would have been almost unheard of
to
get to that age.
Very old at that time, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So some people say, though, Belinda, it's not his most polished work. What do they mean by that?
Well, it was a finished work. He did actually finish it, but what he probably didn't have time to go back to do because he died was edit it and make it, you know, polished and nice and finessed and all of that.
No time to do the spell check.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Did they help? No, we won't go there. So, okay, not as polished, but not necessarily a bad thing. You're sort of on your journey at the moment, aren't you, with Plato, reading the books. How far in are you?
So I've spent 2 weeks, 1 week at a time, on this particular dialogue, The Laws. So we've read 4 books in total, and I think there's about 10 or 12 in The Laws. So a little way to go for me.
As you've explained before too, this is not like a Mills and Boone novel that's properly edited and written. This is ancient text. So how do you actually get into a rhythm? How do you read it and absorb it if it's so challenging?
Well, I always find it easier to read Plato in a group because different people will see different things in the text. And the idea is that you would read a passage and then have a discussion about it. So what did you see in that? And that brings it to life for you a lot more than perhaps just sitting down trying to read it through yourself.
Okay, so it'd be quite slow going even to get
through
a book, wouldn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And there's so much in it. It's a very dense text. So every page has these big ideas in it.
Yeah.
So once you have a discussion around that, I think you probably get 3 pages in an hour and that's about it.
So you've still got 8 books to go. You're probably going to be ordering a walking frame by the time you get to number 12, aren't you?
Absolutely. And this is just one of the dialogues that he wrote. So,
yeah.
You know, there's lots of others as well.
Now, interesting, again, you refer to it as a dialogue because that's how Plato approaches his writings. This is a conversation between people. You've pointed out to me, though, this time around it's between 3 people.
Yes, so this one is 3 elderly travellers. So they meet up on the road. They don't necessarily know each other very well, from 3 different cities, states back in ancient Greece, and they're going on a long pilgrimage to ancient monument to Zeus. So I'm not quite sure why they're going, but they've decided to go, and they decide to pass the time by having a conversation about how best to run a city. As you do.
3 elderly travellers. Their names weren't Larry, Curly and Moe, were they?
No.
No? Okay, I'm getting my stories confused. So the city you're talking about, though, this is a metaphor for?
For the individual. So Plato does this a lot. He actually looks at things on a macro level, a large level, and the politics of a city, because that was all, back then, it was all city-states. They weren't countries, per se.
Mm-hmm.
So cities governed themselves. And so they were looking at the best way to put a city government together. To run the city and therefore the lives of the people. And the metaphor is that it's actually the same for the individual. So inside ourselves and how we govern ourselves can be looked upon in the same way.
Yeah, okay. Hmm. Was Plato always like this with using dialogues or conversations, using a number of people, using metaphors? Was that a theme of his work?
Absolutely, yeah.
Right.
So he's as I said, it's very dense work and it's what we would call a layered text. All of Plato's stuff. So you read it, you know, the first time you read it, you'll get something out of it. And then when you go back and read it again, you get a different, deeper level out of it. And, you know, the more times you go back, the more there is in it.
You love this stuff, don't
you? I do.
I can just tell. Let's have a chat about Plato's divine or higher goods. And these sort of lead into our next topic of conversation, which is a bit more worldly too today. But what are those higher goods that he talks about, Belinda?
So he gave us 4 goods.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us wisdom, which we've talked about a little bit on the program.
Mm-hmm.
Temperance, which is the old word. Now we'd use moderation. So everything in moderation.
Okay. So not the whole chocolate bar, Belinda.
Possibly not.
Gotcha. Yep.
Although don't, tell me that in the at midnight. That doesn't work. Justice, this was one we talked about last week. And courage.
Okay. Wisdom, temperance or moderation, justice and courage are Plato's divine or his higher goods.
Yes.
Okay. So then if you want to, if you want, dumb it down or come up with a working definition, what would they be? And these are described as something else, lower goods, is that correct?
Yeah, so these he called the human goods or the lower goods. So the things that we experience in our sort of everyday lives. So health, which is something that most people are looking for in their life,
mm-hmm.
Beauty, strength and wealth. So they're all generally things that people would agree that they would like to have in their life. But critically, Plato tells us that in order to get those four things, we shouldn't pursue them directly. What we should do is pursue the higher goods. And through the higher goods, we get the lower goods by default.
Right. So don't start with the lower goods, folks. Mm. You're not going to be successful. You need to work on your wisdom, your moderation, your justice and your courage before you can line up for the lower goods.
Yeah, that's it.
Is there a threshold with the higher goods when we've ticked a box and we can be allowed to access the lower goods, Belinda?
Well, they happen automatically. So it's not like you actually have to do any work on the lower goods. So if we take the first one, which is health, for instance, so, you know, the traditional wisdom around health is that we should eat well and not drink too much and take a bit of exercise and all of those kinds of things. And you can see how that relates in particular to the moderation higher good.
Mm.
So if we are, you know, eating in moderation and we're exercising, you know, with whatever is appropriate for us and, you know, our age and all of that kind of thing at this particular time, you can see how that would be more likely to lead to health. So health is like the outcome as opposed to the thing that you're pursuing.
Yeah, okay. We need to sort of step back and have a think about this, don't we? So if you practice wisdom, moderation, justice and courage, do it long enough. Don't worry about the lower goods coming because they just will.
Yes.
Health, beauty, strength and wealth. Can I just go back to wisdom for a while?
Mm.
What happened, and it happens, and I'll use myself as an example here, if you're not the brightest pea in the pod, you know, how can I possibly achieve wisdom to move on to health, beauty, strength and wealth, Belinda?
Well, wisdom is one of these things, as we've had as a practice before, what would a wise person do now? So we often find that if we do take a moment to just take a deep breath and ask ourselves that question, the answer will arise. So often the wisdom is actually within us. It's not external. And I suppose what's coming to my mind is the Forrest Gump movie. Now, he actually led a fairly wise life.
Yeah,
not
he
the
did.
Smartest person.
That's a great example.
But you don't have to be either. It's about doing what's right at the particular time.
Okay. So it's not about your degree.
No.
Your education.
Not at all.
How long you've been around. Doing what's right at the right time, particular time.
And you can only really know that in the moment. You know, to what's actually the right thing to do at that particular time.
I'm speaking to Belinda Fyfe this morning, our radio philosopher from the Ballarat School of Philosophy. We're going to promote what we're talking about next time in just a moment, Belinda, but as always, you've come armed with some homework. What are we doing over the next couple of weeks for you?
Well, I'd like all the listeners and yourself, Brett, to practice one of the four higher goods and see what happens.
Okay.
So practice wisdom, moderation, justice or courage.
Well, I've got some nice Grampian Shiraz at home, so I'm not going to go in moderation. Courage. I think I'll stick with wisdom. I've kind of been practicing that, and now you've put it at my level. I think I can handle that.
Mm.
So there we go, folks. Choose one, practice it, see how you go, and those lower goods will follow. Wisdom, moderation, justice and courage. Now, Belinda, just to prove that your library is an eclectic one... That's putting it nicely. What are we talking about next time?
Well, next time I thought we would look at a book that I've recently read entitled The Tao of Pooh, which is actually about Winnie the Pooh and what he can teach us about being wise.
Hang on a minute. What isn't Winnie known as a bit of a simpleton?
He's known as the Bear of Little Brain.
And you're going to come in a fortnight and tell us we can learn something from a fictional character.
He's another wise bear that we've got out there. And we'll be looking at that through the Tao Te Ching, which is an ancient Chinese wisdom.
Who's the other wise bear out of interest? Humphrey?
Humphrey. Fits for me.
He didn't have any pants on, Belinda. I think on that note, we'll let you go. Belinda Fyfe, great pleasure as always. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Brett.